Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we're back once again, Friday afternoon, joining all of you in the Shaw radio station here in downtown Waukesha, joined in the studio by my friends Brian and Evan. We're talking this afternoon about thoroughly non-controversial issues, right, Brian? We started out talking about religion, talked about abortion a little bit, and now we're talking about guns. So we're ticking off all of them this afternoon.
Later on, we're going to deal with the universal DH.
There you go. Everything and everything. We encourage voters and listeners to call in. We hope you're voting, too. We'll get to that as well at 844-967-2789. Encouraging your questions, comments as we chat about rule of law issues, justice issues that are important to all of us, including many things coming up before the United States Supreme Court, and including the area of guns. So we were chatting right before the break about what the President of the United States of America did in a partial attempt to address our great gun problem in America. After months of review by the Department of Justice and comments by citizens around the country, signed an executive order basically establishing a new rule that prohibits the sale of so-called ghost guns. You can get online, you can purchase them without any official records of their existence. Why? Because they don't have serial numbers on them. And what do you do with these packets that you get? They're prefabricated pieces. You can sit down in your kitchen, in your basement, you need some equipment, but you put them together and they are guns. They become guns. The difference is, of course, that as I said, they don't have serial numbers on them. And why is that significant? The norm, of course, is that firearms in America are required by law to have serial numbers on them so that in an instance like Brooklyn, other situations around the country, every single week, every single day when law enforcement and others are attempting to identify who did what, where did a gun come from, who owned it, who transferred it, trying to solve a particular gun-related crime, if you've got a serial number, you can find out where that gun originated, who had it, and it helps you investigate the crime. Without that serial number, you've got guns out there that are completely without any imprimatur, if you will, of serial numbers, no capacity to follow them, and that has been the law up until just a day or so ago. Also requires that if you don't have serial numbers on them, you also have to have a background check. That's kind of the conditional language in the president's executive order. Interestingly, the day after the president announced that, of course, we had this horrific latest shooting in Brooklyn, which we have chatted about. Frank James in the custody of federal authorities now, facing his offense conduct, facing charges for that offense conduct in the mass transit system in New York City. A day or so after the president announced his rule, a new rule with respect to ghost guns, a Bronx congressman named Richie Torres announced that he is going to be introducing legislation that permit individuals, civilians, to sue manufacturers for ghost gun parts that end up involved in shootings out there. And so whether that legislation will pass, of course, probably unlikely, certainly the present Congress, but a focus again on these ghost guns that are a part, certainly not all of the problem in America, but are part of the problem, an attempt by the president to address these issues, like Barack Obama long before him, a frustration that Congress itself is not doing what it should do to legislate in areas where we know they can have an impact. We've talked a lot about background checks, both state background checks, federal background checks, that can ensure that people who have guns properly understand the seriousness of those weapons and we're not putting in the hands of people who, by their very nature, their histories, may have a proclivity to be violent with them. We know about lethal violent protective orders, sometimes called ERPOs, that protect people upon a petition to a judge if, in fact, they may pose a danger to themselves or other people. Petitioning a state court, federal court judge, if there's federal legislation to protect that individual, individual and others who might be threatened by the use of a gun. We know about bans on assault weapons were effective back in the 1990s, again, to limit the extent to which victims of gun violence are a part of our national history. Unfortunately, our state legislature, our federal legislature in particular, has failed to act, and that's why the president, in many ways, decided to act, as did Barack Obama, also bemoaning the fact that he had to do something in an attempt to try to address this problem. Anticipating fully that sometime soon there will be an attack upon, a litigation attack upon the president's executive order, and also anticipating significantly, Brian, once again, that there's a Supreme Court case coming up again the next few weeks or so. It's New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. And the question there is, what is the extent of the Second Amendment right to carry firearms? We know in a case called Heller, issued by the Supreme Court about 9 years ago, written by Antonin Scalia, that there is now, by virtue of the Supreme Court opinion, a constitutional right to possess and presumably use a weapon in your own home for purposes of self-defense. So that's been the law again for a number of years, almost a decade, throwing back, if you will, many years of understanding that the Second Amendment does not mean that. But nonetheless, that has been our law. Now we've got petitioners out of the state of New York who are dissatisfied with the decision by New York authorities to prohibit them from being able to carry a weapon, a concealed weapon, in the streets of New York, other places. The question about whether or not the government can in fact license and authorize you to carry a weapon in the state of New York, a challenge to that under the Second Amendment. We know, again, from oral arguments back in the fall, it is highly likely that a majority members of the Supreme Court will come forth sometime soon and talk about the fact that Heller can and should be expanded beyond just the home into public places, and that you do in fact have, not me announcing this today, but likely the Supreme Court to do it, a constitutional right, absent government oversight, absent government application, to carry a weapon in public places. The question then is, are there any restrictions on that, as there were in Heller? Scalia basically said that there are limitations on that, hoping that the Supreme Court will look to this and say there should be restrictions on place, perhaps even time, shopping malls, schools, hospitals, those kinds of things, anticipating that case also coming out in our rule of law jurisprudence with respect to guns this afternoon that we are chatting about. We're going to take a break now, encouraging, however, all listeners to call in 844-967-2789. As we go into the second hour, more controversial, non-controversial issues here in the Shaw, 101 FM, 540 AM. Looking forward to more conversation.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue.
Just give me my gun.
Sorry, the law requires a 5-day waiting period. We've got to run a background check.
5 days? But I'm mad now. Yeah. I'd kill you if I had my gun.
Yeah, well, you don't.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Knucklehead.